Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today we're chatting with Chantal Demers, who set 9 unsupported FKTs on Canada's Bruce Trail this summer. Join us to learn about Canada's longest footpath and hear about her experiences with Project 9. Thank you, Chantal, for coming on the show. I really appreciate you making the time.
It is my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited to have you here. And excited to have you on to talk about a trail that very few people, I feel like, know about. Can you tell us about the Bruce Trail?
Sure. So the Bruce Trail is a 900-kilometer footpath. It's Canada's longest and probably oldest footpath. It goes from Tobermory, Ontario, which is a beautiful, quaint little town, and that's the northern terminus, and it goes to the southern terminus in Queenston, which is close to Niagara Falls and the American border. There's so many people that do it in pieces and get their end-to-end badges, and a few others that go and do it in one shot, and then there are FKTs on every section as well, which is nice.
Nice. Yeah, I am originally from Michigan, so just across the lake. And so I've heard of the Bruce Trail. I've never made it over there. I looked at all your pictures, obviously, when I was researching this. And I was like, oh, I think I really need to go over and check this trail out. It looks really amazing.
It's beautiful. And it's got a huge membership base and a lot of volunteers. So it's in great, great, great condition. It's well marked and people really love it and take care of it and invest in it, which is nice. And they're always acquiring more land. And it's really good. Really, really good. We're really lucky to have it in our backyard.
So you mentioned that there are FKTs on it, as for all the sections, as well as for the whole thing. And in 2017, you set the supported FKT for the whole trail. And then again, in 2023, you also came up with something called Project 9, where you set 9 unsupported FKTs, 1 on every section. So can you talk a little bit about maybe a brief overview of your 2017 adventure and also what led you to do Project 9 this year?
Yes. So there's a bit of a backstory. In 2016, actually, a group of 18 women, myself included, did the Bruce Trail as a relay, 24/7 relay. And most of us didn't know each other. And it was a whirlwind of a 4-day event. We covered it in just over 4 days. And it was super, super, super fun. And I always had the Bruce Trail on my radar to do, but I was being coached at the time. And I was like, I'm going to build on this momentum and I'm going to do it next year, which was 2017. And just had the support of all of these new friends in the community just to go after it and do it in a supported fashion. And had some highs and lows like we all do on any multi-day, but it will be an experience that I won't forget anytime soon. It was 12 days, 15 hours, or just over 12 days and 15 hours, and just had over 100 people come out and support me along the way and bring me food and pace me and were invested in me finishing it and being successful. And since then, I actually wanted to go back and try it again in a self-supported fashion. But unfortunately, I have really been struggling with my feet since then, or well, before that, but definitely since then. And I got surgery on them with hopes to make them better, which turned out to be quite the recovery. And then basically was like, okay, I can't do it all in one shot again. What can I do that would be as epic? And my partner Jameson actually gave me the idea. He's like, why focus on stuff you can't do? Why don't you focus on stuff you can do? Which obviously is a really good approach to things. And yeah, it basically just broke down the Bruce Trail and the different clubs. There are 9 clubs, and started with a false attempt in February and just went at it one at a time. Some clubs had some previous records and others didn't, but just tried to keep the totality of the project in mind and try to stay healthy for the whole year, because I knew with the snow in February and maybe snow in November, I actually had a really small window to get it done. So it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned February for section 1. It sounded like a little bit of a rough start for this project. Can you talk a little bit about your experience out there?
Yeah, so definitely I was messaging with a friend that lives out there because I am about 2 hours away from the southern terminus. So just kind of messaging him to see, hey, how are the conditions? Are they good? They've had a really big delay on actually getting snow. And then just a few days before my first attempt, it snowed a bunch. So I was like, you know, I have my heart set on it. I'm just going to give it a go anyways. And then basically it was just ice and snow the whole time. And by the 60 kilometer marker where the math didn't add up anymore, it didn't matter how fast I was going to run for those last 20 kilometers, I couldn't make the math work. So I just basically called for a ride at that point and tried again 12 days later.
And that round went a lot better.
It did go a lot better. It definitely still had ice and snow.
Yeah, I was going to say, ice and snow doesn't go away in 12 days usually, not that time of year.
No, it rained a little bit, so some did. It was still really rough conditions. Both of my ankles were really sore after because of the ice on it. And there was a point in my second attempt where I didn't actually know if I was going to beat the FKT. And I ended up doing it, but only by like 98 seconds or something like that, which is really, really, really short time when you're looking at a 50-mile FKT. So the last couple of hours were very stressful. But I'm like, I can't come back a third time.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I saw that you were less than 2 minutes under the previous record. And at what point did you realize that you were that close to the record? Like, did you get towards the end and you're just like, I have to run all out? Or were you ahead of it and then you started slowing down because of conditions? How did that play out?
Oh, it was so stressful. It's probably the most stress I've ever been on any run. At one point, my app with the map on it stopped loading. I don't know if it was doing an update conveniently during my run. And I didn't really know. Because when you do these things, you just have an idea, right? In your head, you're like, okay, the time is 11:45, but I didn't commit the exact time in my head. So when I was running, like looking at my watch, I'm like, I don't know if there's a mile left or 3 mile left. And I just kept running. I ran like every hill. I wasn't being cautious on the downhills. I'm like, I cannot come back a third time. And I was up on the escarpment, and I could finally see the road down below, and I knew there was a bridge on the road. I was like, I think that's the road. I just ran so fast, dangerously fast down the escarpment. I was sprinting, air quotes, sprinting on the road across the bridge to get to the end. And I don't know if you saw the video, but I'm basically bawling my eyes out. My partner's there asking me if I got the FKT. I was like, I don't know if I got it. We actually pulled up the website to see if I actually beat the FKT or not. Because in my head, I was like, I either got it by seconds or I missed it by 5 minutes. So luckily, I didn't have to go a third time because I don't know what the project would have looked like if I had to do the first section 3 times.
Right? Yeah. When you have a 9-segment FKT project and you really only have 7-ish months to do it, you can't go back over and over and over for one segment.
Oh, like, this isn't starting off very well.
Right.
It was a very dramatic finish, so I was glad that I got it.
So it seemed like then you took a little bit more time before you went for the second section. That wasn't all until April. Was that because of all the snow and ice? You're like, okay, I'm going to finally let that melt? Or
definitely waited for the snow to melt. Yes.
And did that feel like it was, did you feel some stress that was setting you behind as far as the time you had?
I knew if I did one-ish section every 3 to 4 weeks that I would have time to do it if I didn't get injured or fail at an attempt again. We'll get to the longer sections at the end. Luckily, the 2 longest sections are right at the end of the trail, but the second section, Iroquois, is over 70 miles. So I just wanted to make sure I had enough fitness to do the 70 miles early in the year. So no snow, a bit of fitness, and just try to stay healthy for the next one.
Right. Did you do these chronologically, like starting at the south and going north? You didn't skip around, you just went straight.
Yeah. So the first time I did it and supported, I did it vice versa. I did it from the south, to the north to the south. But this time I did it from the south to the north. So just get a different vantage point. And then just to backtrack a little bit to the first time I did one, I did it supported. I had so many people come out and help that I wanted to also have the opposite experience of that, just to do the whole thing unsupported. And I thought if I did it self-supported, then I would still have that interaction if I did go in a store or whatever. So I just wanted to do it unsupported and really have that time all by myself and basically experience the trail, the whole trail, by myself. When I did a support, I didn't have a single second by myself. So both special in their own way.
Yeah, for sure. And ultimately, were you alone on the trail the whole time? Did you see a lot of other trail users?
Depending on the section of it, I did see some hikers. The winter months, not so much because it's cold outside. But in the summer, yeah, I definitely passed by people who are out walking their dog and stuff. So quick hellos and that's about it.
I did notice that for your section you did in April, the second section, you mentioned that it was a bit of a juggling act to do the scheduling between yourself and your partner because he was doing his own FKT. So first, I would like to hear that story, but also I'd love to know if you have any advice to share about balancing supporting one another's adventures for our couples out there that each of them has these big goals.
It's true. So I should mention that I actually met my partner while he was doing the supported FKT attempt on the Bruce Trail. So the Bruce Trail holds a special place in my heart for many, many reasons. Doing it with the Wild Bruce Chase with the 18 women, doing it supported, meeting my partner on it, and then now doing it unsupported. It just means so much to me. So he has 49 waiting on the 50th FKT of his own on the site. So for this Easter long weekend, I believe he was doing a multi-day attempt. And I'm always in favor and support of either us doing any adventures. So we basically timed it where he went, dropped off his car at a Walmart, I think, took a cab to the start, did an unsupported 3-day event maybe. And then he had motivation to finish in time so that I would have enough time to pick him up, drive him back to the start of the trail where his car was, and then both of us follow each other to the hotel room so I could have a short sleep so I could start my next Bruce section. So definitely some logistics were involved and a lot of luck. But I think sometimes you could achieve really big things when you have someone waiting for you. So it gives you that extra little motivation, whether it's a shuttle or a loved one or a friend. You don't want to let them down, so you just push a little bit more. And luckily, luck has been on our side for those adventures. And we've done many drop-offs and pickups and mixed gender things together and training sessions together. So we get each other and we know how important it is for one another to go after it with these things.
Right. Yeah. So this wasn't your first time around like juggling something like this. This is a common occurrence.
It's definitely a common occurrence. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really fun. Really fun. And at the beginning of the year, when we're comparing calendars and goals and stuff, we try to do one or two things together as a goal and then basically make the rest of the time work on who's getting which weekend, doing which FKT, and whether or not we have the kids and all of the fun logistics around work and all of that jazz. So, yeah, summers go by very fast in our household.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I think this past summer we were home one weekend and that was the weekend we had to do back to school shopping. Yeah. Wow. Super fun.
Yeah. And you were the whole time confused. Like, why are we here? It's the weekend.
Yeah.
So your next two sections, I think it was the next two, 3 and 4, seemed like you did them actually pretty close to one another. And you touched on this a little earlier when you said doing them every 3 to 4 weeks to ensure you got them done. So I'm curious about your scheduling, and especially since you mentioned issues with your feet, how you scheduled these to ensure you had adequate recovery in between each of these epics.
I definitely sometimes didn't feel recovered That's for sure. And I just kept telling myself, just try to stay as healthy as possible. You may not be the fastest you could potentially do this one section in, but keep the totality of the project in mind and make sure that you can, in fact, do online sections. So bring back the air quotes speed as much as I could in some of the sections just so that I can recover. But I must say, at the beginning of the project, I thought I would have this really big high mileage year because of the project, but it was in fact the opposite, where between the close sections that I did 2 weeks apart from each other, it was basically recover, run a couple of times and go right into the next one. So I didn't actually do a lot of running in between, but felt fresher at the start line, for lack of better words, for the next section, and just basically built fitness because of the 9 sections as opposed to the training I did in between.
I did see when I was going through your Instagram, it looked like you mixed in a few other adventures over the summer. Were you ever worried about injuring yourself or overdoing it on those? Was that kind of in your mind?
Definitely. I did have a calf, kind of strained my calf a little bit after the 4th section, Caledon section, that was lingering for way longer than I wanted it to. So that was gnawing at my conscience the whole time, especially when I was doing other adventures in there. The one hiking trip that we did together is because we go north every summer in August to see my dad, who lives up north. And then every time we go up there, we kind of sneak in an adventure because it's so far. So you're already up there. You might as well sneak something fun too.
Right. Did you have any other delays or gear failures or major incidents that impacted the project?
No gear failures, which is great. I think that living in Ontario and the humidity definitely played a factor in the summer sections because it was just so hot, so hot. And being unsupported, basically in survival mode and running creek to creek to creek to creek to get to the end, and you're just drenched because it's so hot. And even when you're running overnight, like, it just doesn't seem that the humidity cuts out at all. So just managing that. You start with the ice and go into the humid months where now you're missing the ice section.
Right. Somewhere in between would be nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, like, in the spring, it was very, very smoky.
Yeah.
Where I'm in Pennsylvania, and it was coming from, I believe, Ontario. Did you have issues with the wildfire smoke while you were out there?
No, I didn't. I think there was a couple of training sessions, but it never bothered me for any of the actual Project 9 sections. But I do apologize on behalf of my province for sending it your way.
Apology accepted. Was it a drought up there? Because I know you mentioned it was pretty hot and humid. Did you have issues with finding water?
No, we're really lucky on the Bruce Trail. For most of it, there are major creek crossings and waterfalls. I did have on I think it was the second last section, which was the first 100-miler. I don't think I found any water on the second day, which made it interesting. And the weather wasn't too bad, but I definitely was really thirsty by the end of it. And it affected my calorie intake. And it was probably one of the reasons why I vomited all of the way home, which was no fun.
Oh, awful. That's awful.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to that slushy. And, well, it was not pretty.
Well, on that note, can you talk a little bit about your fueling strategy? Because obviously unsupported, you were carrying everything start to finish. And these are all varying different lengths. Like, how did you handle below freezing temperatures and then really hot temperatures? What changed? How did you manage that?
I definitely don't feel like I need to eat a lot when it's cooler, which is great. I could still function with lower calories in my experience so far. Hopefully that never changes. But definitely as the weather got hotter, I was getting more and more sick of bars and gels and all of the typical stuff that you bring. I did start drinking more calorie fluids just to help with the electrolyte loss and having the extra calories in there, just bonus calories, I call them. But again, you're at the mercy of how many creeks you come across to use that. And by the time I got to my last section, which was in September, I believe, I didn't want to eat anything. I was trying to pack my bag and I was like, oh, I don't want any of this stuff. So I actually just brought a dehydrated meal with me and my little fuel block and my tiny stove. I was like, I'm going to change my socks, roll out my feet, and then make a dehydrated meal so it actually is something a little hearty and not a bar, because I was pretty sick of them at that point. So I just try to get creative and bring more fruit and probably ate way too much candy than I should have. And like, feel good goals as opposed to like, okay, this bar is 220 calories. Just like, what do I want to eat? Because I had a lot leading up to that point.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned getting your water from the creeks and being dependent on those. So obviously you're out there and you're setting an FKT. What water treatment were you using?
Yeah, I just had my BeFree bottle.
Okay.
You did ask a while ago if I had any gear failure. That was probably the only thing that happened is I got a little hole in my BeFree at one point, but I always run with Tenacious Teeth. So I had that and just covered it up and still using it now. So that was no problem. Yeah.
I'd love to know your highest high and your lowest low.
Yes, I would say I just feel like I've struggled so much over the last couple of years with my recovering from my foot surgeries that even though I was kind of hurting at some points and it was really hot, I was just so grateful to be out there and achieving such a big goal. Because the last couple of summers, I just felt like I was really trying to stick a square peg in a round hole over and over and over again. I'm just like, what am I doing? Kind of thing. So I was pretty elated and excited that I was not only out there doing it, that I was actually putting up some pretty solid efforts and not knowing, because I haven't done a 100-miler in a couple of years, not knowing if my feet were going to hold up for a 100-mile, never mind doing it unsupported by myself for the 34 or 5 hours it took to do it. Mm-hmm. So getting to the end of the sections were all really high moments for me. And my partner kept saying, I don't know why you look so fresh when you're getting to the end. Like, really tired. Like, oh, I'm happy it's done. But I was just like super excited that I felt like I was myself again and out doing what I love. Low moments. I don't know. I think the second last section, which is 106 miles, Sydenham, basically rained the entire time. So my feet were wet the entire time, and there was a pretty bad storm that rolled in that was thundering and lightning, and I was like, I'm at the mercy of having my children and work schedules, and that was basically the only weekend that was going to work for that section, and it raining the entire time was no fun. And it was the first 100-miler in a couple years. I brought emergency bivy. I'm like, maybe I'll sleep a couple of hours just to get my break. I have no idea how this is going to go. But every time I laid down, I was just soaking wet and got cold instantly. So I would say probably that would be my lowest. Got to get through this section. And it's so rocky. So just slipping and hitting your toes on everything every 5 minutes or tripping and falling down. You're just like, come on, please stop raining.
Yeah, being out in the rain is no fun, especially when you know it's not going to stop.
It's not going to stop, yeah. And it was supposed to rain on the Saturday, but not rain on a Sunday, but they were wrong. It rained on the Sunday as well. There was no reprieve.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It was really nice to take off my socks at the end.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Going back a little bit to the trail itself, because you mentioned thunder and rain and things like that, what's the character of the Bruce Trail? Are we talking about primarily in a forest? Because you also mentioned an escarpment. Are you up and exposed?
Sure. It's gorgeous. It is on the Niagara Escarpment. So a lot of it are vast views over the water, but it's very much in a forest canopy. You do have a couple of road sections along the way just to connect the trails. And then a couple of farmers' fields that you have to go through your private property to connect the trails as well. But overall, it's, single track trail, lots of roots and rocks and bridges. Because of the large membership base, they do I think, spend a lot of money on bridges and stuff and steps along the way to keep the erosion at bay. So it is a really, really, really beautiful trail. It's very well maintained. But in the summertime, when you do go through some of the farmers' fields, especially when it's wet, I can't remember what section it was. Maybe it was the second last one in that 100 miler because it was wet the whole time when I was wearing shorts and going through the tall weeds in the farmer's field. I got a pretty fun rash out of it, which is just gorgeous to look at.
Yeah.
It's a very sexy sport.
It is, isn't it? What would you say your biggest takeaway from this experience was?
I think because I had the struggle leading into kind of this big project, I think it's just not giving up on yourself. And I think because we're probably all type A personalities and we do have these huge goals you want to focus on and achieve, just giving yourself permission to heal and maybe not force it. And just because you can't do it at that time, that it doesn't mean that it's not possible in the future. And finding other ways to stay fit so that when your body is ready to tackle it, then you can. And just having that support from your friends and your family to keep in a good mindset. I think that's probably my biggest takeaway. And even though I didn't do it self-supported on one push like I originally planned on doing, who knows, maybe in 5 years from now, that's what I'll do. So it's motivating to think about, and I'm really pumped to think about next year. Super grateful to be able to achieve this and one go with no real big incidences.
Yeah, that was actually my last question for you, was if another full Bruce Trail FKT was in your future.
I would absolutely love it to be. Yeah, and maybe not the Bruce, but definitely multi-day or multi-week. I would love to see if my feet can cooperate. I would love to give that world a go again.
It's definitely very rewarding having that very immersive experience of being out there for a long period of time.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I miss it tremendously.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It seems like they're getting better every day. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That's great. I look forward to following along and seeing where those feet take you next.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, it was fun. Thank you.
Thanks again, Chantal, for coming on the show. You can read about her FKTs on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow her adventures on Instagram @Chantal_Demers_trail_running.